Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here today. Welcome to those coming in. Please don't be shy. There's lots of room at the front. Come and take a seat. So what I thought I'd talk about is what are the real opportunities that we, in terms of using AI to better detect and prevent fraud, as well as to improve some of the customer services aspects as well. I believe that artificial intelligence will transform government operations. It provides opportunities to change the way that people work, putting relevant insight and data into people's hands at the right time to make decisions. It can strengthen fraud defences to better detect fraud and boost fraud prevention at scale. In turn, it can also reduce the manual workload of repetitive tasks, improve efficiency, and save costs. And it can improve both colleague and customer experience in terms of how they work and the interactions that they have with customers. So I'm going to bring this to life with a few examples and some real-world use cases. Bear with me, all of the use cases that I have are based on publicly available information. So if some of you have worked on some of these and I haven't expressed it perfectly, I'm sorry, I'm just going on what's publicly available out there. But it means that I can talk and give lots of different examples and try and bring it all to life for you. So, what are government entities doing? For a number of years now, we've already been using machine learning. Machine learning is a great way to modernize some public sector operations and to try and really minimize the amount of fraud. For example, in 2024, the US Department of the Treasury utilized machine learning to prevent and recover over $4 billion in improper payments. They use machine learning to identify risky payments earlier and prioritize high-risk transactions to screen. This can prevent fraud or improper disbursements being made, for example, in unemployment programs, and it's also being used to help combat check fraud. Machine learning is really great at scanning large, complex data sets, could be claims, benefits, records, contracts, emails. It's very good at spotting anomalies or patterns that could indicate fraud. It's really great with numbers and with structured data. Now, recently, we've been adding in different techniques to help us with other areas, such as us being able to combine this with unstructured data. So natural language processing, natural language generation, or generative AI can extend detection further into unstructured data sources. And it can also allow for automation of steps in the process where we need to analyze text or generate text, such as creating a communication. What we can then do is combine these tools that are good with text and rubbish with numbers with the tools that are great with numbers and with structured information. And what we're working with now is agentic AI. So agentic AI is where an automated agent works alongside a human collaboratively to come to an outcome. So it can coordinate multiple steps. It can call on elements of machine learning. It can call on elements of generative AI. It can bring structured and unstructured information together to better prevent and detect fraud. And it can manage that process of getting through the activity required. It can even chat via a chatbot with a customer to handle certain inquiries or to put out questions and to get resolutions. So let me give a few examples of some of this. So for example, regulatory bodies like the SEC, for example, are adopting AI to detect errors in financial reporting. That's improved a lot of precision in finding errors, reduce false positives, and decrease the time required for manual reviews. That's most likely using more machine learning. It's also being used in different areas to try and identify synthetic identity fraud. Here, the generative AI is much more helpful. We can examine evidence that's been provided as to identity, the language that's used, the structure of the documents, etc., and bring that to life. Apologies for that. There's also lots of examples closer to home, for example. So in terms of the agentic side, we have agents that can also listen. It doesn't have to necessarily be text on a screen. So I understand that in Northumberland County Council, for example, there's an ecosystem listening to social worker conversations, really speeding up the capture of documentation of those conversations. And it's being trialled to sort of populate that information into case management systems so that it can then be fed into future conversations. We're also seeing examples of automated capture and validation of car ticketing systems, court databases, these kind of things, allowing people to focus on the value add tasks rather than just churning through things. So what does that give us? It gives us a combination of things. Firstly, it allows us to detect fraud in a way humans can't. Trying to combine all this information at scale and pace is really difficult. So we can detect more and we can move faster. We can also improve our productivity in doing so. The organisation SAS did a survey of civil servants across the world, and 100% of the people surveyed said that AI was improving their productivity. And 57% said that actually working more efficiently was their main reason to use AI, more so than actually fraud detection and prevention itself. It's making it easier for the humans to be more effective, as well as actually helping in that identification and prevention activity itself. It's also improved experience in terms of getting rid of some of the boring stuff and actually being able to answer sort of point-in-time questions more collaboratively and improving the experience both for the employee and also for customer interactions. And it can do it at a huge pace and scale. So let's try and dig into some examples of where we can use AI for fraud detection and prevention, specifically in taxation. So we all know that fraud, including tax evasion and tax avoidance, is a significant contributor to the UK's tax gap. As such, preventing fraud is an operational priority and also a foundational requirement for maintaining the integrity, fairness, and resilience of the tax system. AI can provide new opportunities to continue tackling fraud in taxation and continue reducing the tax gap. What we're seeing is that tax fraud today is increasingly getting more agile and more sophisticated. The fraudsters are certainly already exploiting new technologies, complex financial structures, and complex cross-border mechanisms to obscure their activities. AI is a critical tool for detection of some of those things. To detect those kind of patterns at scale, we need to be able to analyse vast quantities of data at speed. And we need to look for patterns and behaviours emerging as we do so, and really spot and prioritise the areas of heightened risk activity. So we see these 8 opportunity areas in terms of how specifically we can use AI within fraud detection and prevention taxation. The first is an early warning system. So that's where we're looking at the patterns and trends that we've seen before, and we're then able to flag and prioritise when we see those patterns and trends again. For example, I understand that HMRC uses predictive modelling to identify potential high-risk taxpayers and then is able to have different treatment mechanisms based on different risk factors, any sort of similarities with previous patterns they've seen of evasion, and they can then assign a risk score and give different treatment based on the risk score for each taxpayer. Insights like that can enable things to get tackled much earlier for those priority cases. So second area is to enhance precision in detection. This is about really precise targeting. So it's about using AI to think about how it learns from existing cases and feedback on cases presented so far to then really target what is most likely to be a case requiring an intervention. So in Poland, for example, where they have a model that can detect likely VAT fraud in something they call their STIR model, they can then automatically link that to block accounts while they pursue their investigation. Obviously, you don't want to do that for every case, so it needs to be very precise and very targeted to those that are the highest risk. And that's where these very large models can really help. The next one is related in terms of providing that focus and prioritisation. We can also use the models to basically prioritise which cases to work and which order to work them in. And I've seen examples of that in the IRS in the US, for example, in terms of using case selection tools and helping not only to prioritise work from the sense of risk, but also in terms of fairness and making sure that they're taking a fair approach to tax compliance. And not being overly biased in the way that certain cases are being pulled. So it enables them to balance their tax audits based on a balance of risk and also customer impact. Automation of investigation activity is the next step, so really trying to find ways to automate some of the very labour-intensive tasks. This is where we bring in the ability to do things like data ingestion, document verification, etc. And then, by able to do more and faster, when we try to review things, we can also get a model to do a full scan, and instead of doing a sample-based approach, actually review everything, come up with some risk scores and risk flags, and then just dip into the ones that are the most meaningful. We can also incorporate more insights. So a really nice example for in France is where they're using AI to scan aerial photographs. So you can find aerial photographs on various sources, and actually where there is investigations looking at tax declarations related to property, they can compare aerial photographs with what has been declared to see if there's if they're reasonable, for example, or not. There's something that can be automated by AI using not just unstructured data in the sense of language, but also visual images as well, and can be quite powerful in sort of, again, flagging the right things that would require a human to take a look. There's also, as I said, many examples of gaining insight from lots of different unstructured data. For example, looking into gaining additional insight about interrelationships or connections that people have, and then being able to explore those. And where I think this will go next is a shift from not just being reactive, but trying to be much more proactive. So AI will be able to help us take those kind of what-if scenarios. So, you know, what if something we've seen is a potential new pattern or trend? Well, let's run that over the data and see where else it could be hitting, and is it caught flagging up in other areas, for example? So let's take a look at the benefits as well. A few examples here. I guess automated document verification is a key one. For example, a European Social Security Agency has boosted their productivity significantly by automating identity and eligibility checks with AI. I've also seen this myself in terms of other industries as well, where this is becoming quite a common step in terms of sort of know your customer checks, for example. And it's important as well in a world where we need to focus on synthetic identity detection. Unfortunately, increasingly, a lot of more fake identity documents are being submitted, and other sorts of evidentiary documents that are fake. And AI can be really tuned and trained to actually better detect where there are fake identities that have common elements, or where we see device IDs being used again and again, and those kinds of things, really digging sort of the data underneath the document per se. And we can use it to predict things, so we can look at what sort of claim analysis is telling us in terms of what is the likely outcome of a certain case and things like that. It can also help with biometric identification, actually doing reviews of facial checks versus passport photos or driving license photos, for example. And we can use network analytics to connect different sources and different intelligence and piece together that picture for a particular person. We can also look more real-time at some of the ways that payments are being made. For example, Medicaid have done this in the US, where they were concerned about use of payment cards and identity theft and account takeover of these payment cards. But by monitoring the transactions being used on those payment cards, they are able to have greater accuracy in determining which ones are likely being taken over or being used fraudulently. And I think we could think about ways to use that here, for example, in like for Healthy Start cards or transport passes and things like that. Is the way that they're being used in line with the expected behaviour, or is it outside expected behaviour? We can also think about embedding the fraud agents in the application processes as well. So I've already mentioned sort of opportunities to scan identity documentation, for example, but also looking at different kind of behaviours and traits and consistency of wording, where we have now AI starting to become a threat and actually creating lots of sort of fake cases. Is it using just very similar language? Is it operating in a similar way? Can we pick those things out by using AI in the detection process as well? And then there's also the benefits from a sort of improved customer service example. The biggest opportunity here really is to be able to handle queries much more effectively and quickly with less burden on humans. It's not perfect in every situation, but actually offering more guidance as to how to fill in documentation and forms more easily, how to guide people through an application process, how to answer simple queries based on eligibility criteria, for example. It can save a lot of people having to kind of wait for 9 a.m. for the hotline to open or whatever, and provide a lot greater and easier access to information to customers at whatever time of day is convenient to them. And it can also speed up those contact centre agents when they're called as well, because they can have a lot more access to information at their fingertips. They can be querying and accessing and checking things as, whilst they're on a call as well. Less need to kind of park something and follow up later. So chatbots and virtual assistants are a key part of it, but it's also about how to put things in the fingertips of the humans and to work hand in hand with the AI and the human together to give the best outcome in the most effective and efficient manner. So I've talked a lot about the opportunities, but I guess I did start to mention as well some of the threats. AI is also making the fraud threats worse, unfortunately. So what we're seeing is that there is already a lot of fraud vulnerabilities opening up through the use of AI. One is the ability to generate hyper-realistic synthetic contact. So this could be, for example, fake documents, whether it's receipts or it's evidence of identity, bank statements, etc. Actually distinguishing genuine and fraudulent application evidence is going to get harder and harder and harder. So we need to keep pace in terms of how we approach that. Secondly, we see fraudsters using AI agents at scale and pace to probe for weaknesses. So basically submitting lots and lots of false applications in an automated way to see which ones get through, learn from it, and then do some more. That, again, is something that we'll need to think of in terms of our weaknesses and how, for example, systems that we use to allow people to apply for grants or benefits work and how they can be used by automated agents. We'll need to think about protecting access to humans and making that as flexible and easy as possible, but making sure that we're just not open to being flooded by volume of abusive attacks by AI agents from fraudsters. Third, I think, is the threat of potentially some self-inflicted fraud where the AI gets out of its box. So the joy of AI is it's less prescriptive in terms of how it behaves and what it does than traditional technologies. If we're not careful, we may allow the AI too much freedom, and there is a risk that could occur that the AI will actually start to be participating in certain AI threats. So it's very very important to make sure that your AI is clear on the goals set for it. So, you know, if you say your goal is to help customers apply for services and to gain better access to benefits, well, some trials with this led to an AI that decided to optimize the request, basically changing and falsifying the information so it was more likely to be successful. This is not an outcome that we wanted, and clearly better guardrails are necessary to kind of rein that one in. I think it's really important as well to kind of test and learn and measure as you go on this one. People often ask me, like, how can you measure the return on investment in this space? It's really hard when, like, the fraud threats are changing, the methods that we're using to try and combat them are changing, we're adopting these different tools and techniques into different parts of our processing, into our customer interactions. And I think, so what I wanted to do here, and I'm really not going to drain this, but just to give you something to think about, these are things that you can practically do to measure that return on investment. You can think about, what is the effectiveness of what I'm trying to do? Is it really working in terms of fraud detection? Is it really helping to improve customer service? Not just through financial measures and efficiency measures, which are often quite obvious, but really think through the effectiveness measures as well. Thinking about true positive rates, not just false positive rates, is a really good way to think about effectiveness, for example. And I think thinking about trust and how you actually measure engagement and things like that can also be really powerful. So, to conclude, what do I think we're going to see next? We're entering probably the most exciting and most worrying era for fraud prevention and detection in a generation. We're not going to stop the AI revolution. We're not going to stop new threats and attacks being affected on our systems, on our processes and our services. So we don't have a choice as to whether the world is going to use AI or not. It's here, and we need to think about how we respond to it. We need to defend against the new threats that it brings. But we also need to think about how we use it to deliver better services to our colleagues, our customers, and meet public demand for those services. This means building fraud prevention into AI-enabled processes now. We need to do it with robust guardrails. We need to think about real-time monitoring, how we measure the ROI, how we are logging what is happening, monitoring what is happening. We need to have kill switches so we can turn it off if it gets contaminated or something goes wrong. But we need to do it. We need to think very carefully about authentication of identities and who someone is that we're interacting with. We need to then be able to make that interaction as effective as possible. Thinking about the evidence that we have, how do we best validate that and give the best service that we can, leveraging these techniques at our fingertips. Thank you and good luck for the next 5 years.